This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com, and I have with me on the phone Tim Toler, who is the owner of Clean Sweep Lot Services, LLC, located in Indianapolis. Tim and his company are the World Sweeper Contractor of the Month for the month of December 2008. So congratulations on that, Tim, and thank you.
Thank you.
Tim, my understanding is that before you did sweeping the what we might call the traditional way with trucks and vacuum, you had a little more interesting start. That was about a dozen years ago. How did you actually get into the parking lot cleaning business?
Well, I'd worked for a developer up until that point, about 8 years. And did pretty much drove a tenant sweeper and did outside maintenance and groundskeeping duties. And I noticed they'd built a small grocery store by the name of Aldi's on one of the outlots, and noticed that it wasn't being cleaned. I had went over there and asked the manager one day, and he referred me to a district manager, and they called me and started cleaning. Started out with one Aldi store for about a year and a half, about a year, and then had gave them bids for nine more stores in Indianapolis in the small town outside of Indianapolis. And we cleaned them with a dustpan and a broom. My sons and my wife used to help me, and we got to the point after doing that for a couple of years. I was with a company for 10 years called Skinner & Broadbent Company, a real estate management development company in Indianapolis. Had kind of learned the ropes of property management by working with that company, and got kind of tired of working for them guys. They never promoted from within the company, and got to the point where I felt like I could probably, sustain my livelihood from going out and bidding on other contracts, at which time probably about a year and 6 months into cleaning a couple of Aldis, I got my life turned around, got in church, and God really gave me a vision one day that trash was money, and from that point on, he had opened up doors. One of the big ones was a Simon Mall, and we kind of started off with the Aldis, one big Simon Mall, and a couple other small strip centers, enough to sustain our livelihood. At which time, 98, I quit working for Strand & Broadbent Company after 10 years and ordered a new sweeper. I think it was around May 2nd of 98. The Simon people had gave me 30 days to start, so in the meantime, around the 15th through the 18th of May, I got a couple more contracts that came on board, and they wanted me to start within a week. So me and my father the Schwartz people flew us down to Huntsville. They gave us an old junky loaner truck. I think it was a 92 343. Drove it back. Used that for a couple of weeks before the brakes went out in it. I remember having to take it to one of the local dealers to get it fixed. About $2,800. I had to call the Schwartz people to take care of the check on it. And then around the end of May 30th, I believe it was, they delivered my new 347.
That changed everything pretty radically for how you did business, I would guess.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. I remember, I'd walk lots for a long time, you know, and using a tenant sweeper sparingly, walked the soles off of a number of pair of boots in 10 years.
So, it's interesting that you would have cleaned some of these lots with a broom and a dustpan. What's the difference in the margin for what you could make? Because it would certainly take you a lot longer, but you don't have a machine to pay for. Did you find that? What happened to your profit margin as soon as you started with a sweeper machine? Did that get a lot better, or?
Well, it's kind of funny, you know. You go from when I was working for the Skinner Broadbent Company, I had one huge strip mall that, I mean, it was good size, but, you know, we went from having, you know, 8 hours a day to take care of it to with a broom and a dustpan and then jumping in a sweeper, you know. I can remember being on the mall lot, you know, my attention to detail, you know, I have a Navy background, did 4 years in the Navy, so, and I think I probably got, I'm a freak for detail, so I can remember back when I used to clean the mall a lot with the truck when I first started, you know, I would put 4 or 5 hours in. At some point in time, I think I came to realization that they wasn't paying for that amount of time, that I had to, you know, come up with a better solution on how to trim it down to, you know, 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the first time that you had a realization of really figuring up your costs of anything.
Yeah,
it'd
yeah.
be your time, but until then.
But, you know, at that point, I came to my time had to be worth more than, you know, $10 an hour.
Exactly.
I mean, when you're starting off yourself, you can afford to be a little cheaper, you know, than a guy that's got a big overhead. Because I remember parking a truck in my driveway, so all I had was, you know, the truck payment, the fuel payment, you know,
insurance,
whatever
stuff
I had to do on the sweeper brooms and such.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you come to a realization that your time's worth more than, you know, $10-$11 an hour when you're sitting out there on a huge mall parking lot. Because I've also come, and I remember back to that particular mall, I used to kill myself trying to satisfy this mall manager. And they don't care how much I would make that place shine, spit shine it, she would always say, well, it looks all right.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of when I figured, you know, you can't please everybody all the time, and you're worth more. My time was worth more than $10 an hour.
Well, as somebody who grew up with parents who said about the same thing, I understand the frustration of that one. Certainly, that's the best they ever could say about the jobs I did, too. So, but it sort of prepares you better for later in life, because then that same job a lot of people can be impressed with. Let me talk about what you've done in the interim. Now you're up to how many sweepers today?
We got 7 trucks, a couple pickup trucks. We got, I think, 12 employees, 13 employees.
So you certainly figured out your pricing, you figured out your costs, you figured out ways to make money. And you said in our preliminary conversation that you had changed equipment. You started off with Schwartz's. What took you away from that?
You know, for years, I go back a little bit. I can always remember. I can't remember the gentleman's name. I talked to a contractor down in Florida when I was looking for my second truck. The truck he was selling was about 2.5 years old, and I asked the guy, and he said, "Why are you selling this truck, and it's only 2.5 years old?" And he says, "Well," he said, "he'd been in business for a number of years," and he says, "Well, you know, if I'm going to have a truck payment," he said, "I might as well have a new one every 2.5 to 3 years," and that kind of stuck with me. So, like I'd spoke to you in the past, you know, I'm not the biggest contractor, but I'm the kind of contractor that I know that these sweeper manufacturers love, because I took that gentleman's suggestion in Florida and kind of ran with it. Because the first truck I had, I did a kind of a cost analysis. I kept that truck for almost 4 years, and after 3 years, they start nitpicking you. They start costing you, you know, if you average it out, they'll start costing you anywhere from $200 to $300 a month, just in starters and other things going wrong with it. So that second truck, I went ahead and bought a brand new one. Well, I'd been a Schwartz guy for, I don't know, 8 years, religiously. You know, I never shopped the prices on them guys. I can remember buying the first truck. You know, I was kind of new in the game. That guy gave me a price. Never forget, he gave me the price, and I was like, okay, I'll buy it. You know, not knowing that, you know, you can negotiate the price with the sweepers just like you do with a vehicle you buy, you know, a personal vehicle.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, so 8 years go by, you know. I bought, what was that, 06, I believe. I bought 5 brand-new sweepers from them in a course of probably 11 months. And I do believe I called up Nighthawk because I was, you know, wanting to buy a... That's when the fuel prices started going up, and I wanted to buy a hydraulic machine. The Nighthawk people even came by. I was kind of impressed with the machine at the time. I was kind of leery of the Schwartz hydraulic because they were just starting to build it. So, you know, me being a loyal Schwartz guy, I got the price from them, and on 3 of the SEs I was going to purchase, they were still a total of probably, I think it was almost $6,000 higher than the Nighthawks. Well, the Nighthawk guy called me. Not only was he was going to throw in stainless steel hoppers, he was going to give me, I believe it was 3 extra heads for his trucks. Well, I asked, you know, Clark Word, the guy that was my sales guy at Schwartz. He says, "Well, Tim," he says, "you know, we've been here for you, you know, all this time." He says, "Whenever you need a loaner, we've given you a loaner." And Tom says, "Well, let me think about it." I talked over with my wife. You know, I always talk to my wife about business stuff. You know, it's good to have a woman's point of view, especially... She really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the daily operations. She and my sister run the office stuff, you know, the numbers portions of it, the bookkeeping and such. But as far as the daily operations, hands-on, she doesn't have nothing to do with it. But when I asked her, she says, "Well," she said, "Tim, you know, Schwartz has been there for you. They, whenever you need a loan or truck, they've always given you one." So,
yeah, there's value to that, certainly so.
Yeah, there was. So, you know, I called that my sales guy back up, and I told him, I says, "Well, you know, the loaner I'm talking, I says, your loaner is what sold, you know, sold these trucks. So they built me four of the SEs, and I purchased a brand new A4000 from the factory. And I believe it wasn't, I got to think, one of the first three that they delivered, I started having problems with the control panel losing power. And I tried to, you know, days and days, hours, I would try to find it. It was an intermittent problem. And I got to a point where, you know, it was just me running operations. I didn't have a mechanic. I didn't have an operations manager like I do now. It was just me. So I called the Schwartz guys up and told them, I said, look, guys, I can't find this problem. I'm losing money out here at night. You know, this truck going down. I'm having to send another truck over to, you know, help this guy out. And they just wouldn't send me alone. So, you know, at that time, I started figuring it out that after Mark Schwartz had left, his family had sold the company, and after he had left, that these guys are, you know, they're corporate now. They're trying to please the stockholders versus the guys who actually buy the truck.
Well, there's certainly as companies get bought out like that by you know, public companies, things typically change. What are you running now? You have
we got three Mark IIs.
Oh, that's the Victory Sweeper that Mark Schwartz is?
Mark IIs. We got two of the Mark I's, and we just bought a Challenger mechanical sweeper about 2 months ago, and we still have a 333 left that, you know, I'm kind of...
Which is the Schwartz single engine.
I've got a deal struck with Mark at Victory and his sales guys that I don't know, you know, but I'm thinking about letting that one go, too.
And did you see a big difference between the fuel savings on the single engine sweepers versus the dual engine? What's been your experience on that?
Well, yeah, I did. The first thing I figured out was the Schwartz 348s and 347s. It seemed like I was always having to fix something or do something to the auxiliary engine. So when you cut the auxiliary engines out, you don't have your time spent when something goes wrong with it. You don't have all the oil changes you have to do to them. And then there is, I think, when we first started running the numbers, we were, you know, a 10-hour out with an auxiliary engine truck was taking, you know, 14 to 16 gallons of fuel. And we would put a hydraulic on that route, it would go down to 11 or 12 gallons.
So that adds up, certainly.
Oh, yeah, over the course of time.
Yeah.
You know, months. So they pretty much help you pay for them.
And what do you do with the Challenger, though? That's a newer, smaller hopper capacity broom sweeper that... are you happy with the performance that that has? What are you using that for?
Well, the guy, the sales guy, had called up Stuart Amos. That guy that owned that place, you know, he didn't sound interested in selling me a sweeper. The sales guy, Charles, can't remember his last name, Challenger, he called me up one day back in the summer of 08, and you know, said he was in town with one of his machines and asked would I be interested in, you know, looking at his machine. So I said yeah. He brought about around. I was pretty impressed. You know, all these years we never have had a mechanical broom sweeper. I just knew that in order to be a full service sweeping company, And we've been in business with the sweepers 10 years as of May of 08, that it was time to, you know, stick my neck out, so to speak. And, you know, because when you purchase something of that magnitude, you're kind of putting it out there. But he brought it in town. I liked it. A couple months later, we bought it. And, you know, I still don't know very much about them. I know how to run them, but I'm learning, you know, as we go. And we have a mechanic and the operations manager, and we've been pretty happy.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing milling with that, even?
Yep. We started. I remember my operations manager, Mr. Johnson, was all the guys in the shop along with him thought I was crazy for buying it. You know, they thought, you know, $145,000, you know, they were all pretty worried. And I tell them, you know, when I do anything, you know, I pray about it and I ask God to give me confirmation that if it's time for me to do it, and I'll even ask my wife, well, I feel like God had gave me the confirmation that, yeah, it's time to take Clean Sweep to you know, another level.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we bought it, I mean, I went out, drove around the airport and around the west side of the city of Indianapolis, started dropping off business cards, and 2 days later, that thing was busy for, man, at least 2 months every day, doing milling work, sweeping out here at the airport, construction sites, excavation sites. So, yeah, I've been pretty happy with it.
Mm-hmm. What are the other kinds of things you could offer to contractors out there that are trying to grow from a one or two sweeper operation into getting more? What do you think are the key parts of increasing your business?
Well, the main one I think is, and my philosophy still holds true to this day, that. And this is what I tell my operations manager and my drivers and the day porters, anybody who works for me. If when you sell a job, you tell them you're going to do something, you do it. You know, that's why I try to tell these guys, if a customer pays to have the sidewalks blown and you don't blow them, that's just like you going to the car wash wanting the hot wax. You paid for it and they didn't give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go back and ask them to give it to you. So the big thing is, you know, do what you say you're going to do. Because a lot of guys in our market, you know, in our industry, give us a bad name. I remember back, oh, man, it was 3 years ago. I was trying to sell a job at this Williams Realty. Never used sweepers before. I remember having a meeting with the vice president and the maintenance supervisor. As soon as I walked in the conference room, I never forget, the vice president was a female. She looked at me as soon as I walked in, before I even sat down. She said, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like sweeper companies.
Huh?
So I knew from that point on, you know, either she had been lied to in the past, but, you know, to make a long story short, I sold the deal. We picked up 12 properties from that company, and we still do them to this day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly a key element is if you follow through, the property managers do not want to take the time to change out a contractor ever. They just want things to go along. That's one of the things I thought about when you said you got the Challenger and you've been using it and putting it out on jobs, but you don't know much about it. Well, it's nice when you have a sweeper and you don't know how to fix it because it hasn't broken. And that's the same thing with a property manager. They love just coming to work every day and not having to worry about the things that are being handled by other contractors. So that's certainly a key element. Do you see yourself branching out further into broom sweeping?
Yeah. We're going to try to we're going to start bidding on some small municipal contracts west of Indianapolis, you know, some small towns, and I would like to build up to, you know, the big jobs like the Indianapolis contract just came up for bid. But, you know, my theory in anything that I do, especially in business, I want to, you know, start slow and then build up to something big like a major metropolitan city such as Indianapolis.
Well, I think that's a key element, too. I know, and that's one of the things I talk about in my Fundamentals of the Power Sweeping business book is to, when you're doing something new, don't go out to the big customers first, but get your feet wet with the ones where it doesn't matter so much if they say no, because you do only have one chance to make that good impression.
Right.
Is there anything in closing that you'd like to add into the mix here of information for other contractors out there that would like to become more successful?
Well, it's never good. What my dad told me, he says, you got to work hard to get to the top of the mountain. He says, but you got to work twice as hard to stay on top. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that get into it that get complacent and happy with where they're at. But even if you get that attitude, you still got to work hard to stay. You know, even if you got up the side of the hill, you still got to work twice as hard to stay up on the side of that mountain.
Well, I think those are good final words to leave it with. So, again, congratulations for being Contractor of the Month for December 2008 at World Sweeper. And we've been speaking with Tim Toler, who's the owner of Clean Sweep Lot Services, LLC, in Indianapolis. So, thanks again, Tim, and we appreciate the time.
All right, thanks.
Congratulations.